Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Doing our hardcore footy on a Monday, always good listening and always great to have you involved with this. So this is your chance to have your say. Conversation starter for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. This could go right through until 8 o'clock, and that will include Jordan Lewis's takes and observations as well. And then we've got Toddy Goldstein, and then we've got Ryan Pappenhausen. So lots to get through this morning. Just the traffic report then caught my ear, Wispy. Major freeways are incident and delay free. Well, they want to be, given everyone's been locked away. You'd be unlucky if you got an incident today on a major freeway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there traffic snarls out there?
No, obviously not. That's what I'm saying.
That's what that was a rhetorical, that was a sarcastic remark from me. Are there traffic snarls out there? I'll tell you what I can do without, and I don't know what the hell was going on overnight, but did you hear the police helicopter overnight?
No.
Oh, crikey, Moses! It was buzzing overhead. If we're in lockdown, can they lock down the police helicopter for a while too, and not buzz my part of the world at 3:30 a.m. or whatever it was that woke me up this morning. Anyway, that's just a little self-indulgence.
Before we start, just a little observation. Can we not, maybe the deliberate out of bounds by foot, let's just take the interpretation out of that. If you've kicked it and it goes out of bounds, particularly between the arcs, it's just an automatic free wisp. I mean, that's what happens anyway.
Sorry, if you kick it
any
out of bounds.
Any kick at the moment, almost any kick, I'd say 90% of any kick that goes out of bounds is a free kick these days. So why don't we just make it a free kick between the arcs?
Okay, why don't we just, last person touches the ball, the opposition team gets the ball back in, if that's going to make it easier for everybody as well, because...
Well, you're missing my point. You're not really listening to me this morning. But anyway.
What's your point? What's the point you're making, though?
Well, there's kicks on the weekend that they're doing everything they can to try and keep the ball in, but they're being pushed off balance when they kick it, and it goes out of bounds, the umpy pays a free. Okay, if that's the way you're going to do it, let's just clear it up, make it easy, and say if you kick it between the arcs and it goes out, it's a free kick.
Well, I was just adding to what you were saying. I was listening to every word you said, as a matter of fact. What I was doing was I was responding, and you were taking it to one level, and the Wisp was taking it to another level.
I know.
And just saying, okay, well, I'll put a little bit of mayo on top of that, and let's take it to this level, because I think it's... you know what? Let's not get started on this, because we'll just disappear down a hole, and we'll never come back again. We start talking about umpiring decisions. But there is one bloke out there who does adjudicate the game, who I have no faith in terms of his ability to understand what might be in the mind of a player when they have the ball. Honestly, now I'm not going to name him, but he drives me. Honestly, if I'm going to have one bottle of wine, I'll have two if he's umpiring the game.
Right, well, we're not going to name him, so that's not going anywhere. Nathan Buckley and Brenton Sanderson, the biggest story over the weekend, off field, took full responsibility. Let's have a listen to them after they had a game of tennis with Alicia Molik, and that's not on.
Well, it can't help. You don't need the extra attention, especially when it's away from your primary endeavour, which is to be as good a football team as you possibly can be. So, we let the club down in that regard by, a miscommunication and not being diligent enough. I don't have a leg to stand on. It was a lack of due diligence by me and follow up, and should have known better.
And I just want to go straight into this Triple M Hot Breakfast, July 31st, Eddie Maguire.
Do you think the AFL will just come out and say, right, here's what it is. Here is now the list, and if you do this, all clear, and if you do that, you're in big trouble. And in fact, if anybody transgresses, you're on the plane home. We're not going to cop this stuff. And I think that's where it's just got to be. It's just got to be so clear-cut that no one can have any mitigation that, oh, I thought this happened, or I heard that happened, or I didn't know you couldn't do that. No, you can't. And if you don't do it, bang.
We haven't heard from Ed. And look, when you make those comments and then your senior AFL coach transgresses like Nathan does, then your next comment's going to be interesting.
Why is he so hard to track down over the weekend? He's not normally that hard to track down.
No, I don't. Well, I don't know. Did you try and track him down?
Well, Fox, I didn't see him on Fox over the weekend. Did they try and track him down over the weekend? I know we did. I know Steve-O tried to track him down over the weekend.
He may not have been calling on the weekend. Anyway, what will be his response?
Well, his response, I don't know what his response will be. He never admits that he got something wrong, so that won't be his response. His response will be that that Bucks has received a $25,000 fine, or he and Sandow have received a $25,000 fine, and that's enough. Can I just... I just want to point something out, right? Ben Hart, a long time ago now, in another lifetime ago now, he conducted a training session with Adelaide Crows players that had come across from other states before they went back into their training regime with the Adelaide Crows. They were doing a little bit of handball, I think, and he got a 6-week ban from the game.
I know.
Was that a little bit heavy-handed, or is this just a little bit light-handed?
In light of where we are now, no, it wasn't. Maybe if we'd taken such a severe stand on some other stuff, not just footy I'm talking about, in general, in terms of our attitudes toward this insidious disease or virus that got us in bloody lockdown, then maybe we wouldn't be in this position.
Ed was 100% correct. The penalties need to be clear. That's what they need to be. They need to be clear. Well, his own coach has decided that it was his error of judgment and he should have double-checked before he went out and played tennis.
So apart from all that, they've got issues. They're 10th on the ladder, Collingwood now. Fremantle unravelled them. I thought Justin Longmire coached absolutely magnificently. Now, we've been telling you for a month that they do all their scoring in the first 20 minutes, Collingwood, and then from that point on, they were 16th or 17th in the competition for scores beyond that first 20 minutes. So Longmire said, righto, you're not scoring on our watch. And they went in at quarter time and Fremantle hadn't scored, Wisp. But the simple fact is Collingwood had scored one goal too. And that laid the foundation. And they backed it. This is a game I would love to have been at live to see how they did it. But it appeared that they pushed all their numbers back early, didn't want to get scored against, protected their back half. And then, given what West Coast did against Collingwood the week before, launched from the back half and started to build their game from the back half. And then their magnificent midfield, Sarong, Chera, Brayshaw, Kids, complemented by Mundy and Fife, just got to work. It was and their hardness, that's the other thing. Let's just take everything else back. Their hardness from the start to the finish was just first-rate for you. It was a fantastic win.
They were. And, you know, if you go back and actually track every performance this year, they've been really, really competitive. And I think that Justin Longmuir touched on this post-game when he said that that was the most complete performance across the group of them all buying in and doing their bit at the weekend yesterday. Yeah. That was the best four-quarter complete performance from his team. And there's been lapses in all those other games. But they've been up to their eyeballs in just about every other game they've played. So I think he was also the architect. When he went to Collingwood, he also was the architect of their defensive mechanism, and that was that he thought that they were defending as a group too high, so the defenders were coming right up the ground. Then they were susceptible to the ball going over the top and out the back and that type of thing. So they adjusted that. They set their defence deeper, and that's what he's implemented there at Fremantle. But, you know, when you're judging a coaching performance, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, what influence have they got over that group of players and how quickly have they been able to attain that influence over the group of players? And you've got to give him a tick on that account.
Yeah, they want to possess the footy. They struggled in the wet because they couldn't do that. You know, they like a kicking game. So they got the job done and they did it really well. Then the Magpies, all of a sudden people going, well, Collingwood are going to bounce back because they play the bottom four teams in the competition over the next 4 weeks. Well, they've played one of those bottom four teams and they've lost. So they've got, we know their personnel issues. They've got some big travel ahead of them. So the challenge is right in front of them. They're 10th on the ladder. They've had four wins, Wisp. And a draw.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They play
Sydney. Right, tell me about Essendon, please. They kicked 3 goals, 10 on Friday night. And on any other night, in any other year, in any other circumstance, we'd still probably be talking about it. But and I'm not saying they've missed the heat. It's just that everything moves on really quickly right now.
It does. And some are luckier than others because it moves on quickly. But look, they got some injury concerns, right? But a lot of clubs have got some injury concerns. They've got their best player, I think, is... Well, they're two, maybe their three best players are out at the moment. Heppel, Joe Danaher and Stringer. We don't know when Joe Danaher is going to be back. Stringer's not going to be out for the rest of the year. But I just want to concentrate on one part of their game. There's a lot of things that you can pull apart about Essendon right now. And if you're an Essendon fan, you know you've been watching the same thing probably for a decade now about our inability to be able to slow sides down and stop them from scoring, all that type of thing. But this is how it's been explained to me, right? Because Essendon don't shut down midfielders. They don't go after a midfielder. They don't play a tagging or a run-with type player. They flirted with that last year for a while with Clark, and for whatever reason, they're not playing him. I believe the reason is because they see themselves as a system-based football team, right? So they don't tag because they back their system. Well, the system doesn't always work. In fact, the system doesn't work against the best midfielders in the game when Essendon plays against them. It's like all their Christmases have come at once when they play against Essendon. They know that they're just going to get out there and they're going to gorge themselves because they're not going to get shut down in any way. I thought that, you know, Carousella coming to the club and, you know, Rutten obviously being at Richmond too, and, you know, they'd seen what Richmond were able to do, and we were sold as Essendon supporters. You were sold the idea that, okay, we're going to play like Richmond. You tell me, you watch the game. You tell me what part of Essendon's game right now resembles anything that Richmond has done in the last 3 years.
Yeah, no, I didn't see all I was coming back from the game that I was calling. I caught the last half. Well, when they go and go well, their forward handballing stuff is reminiscent of what they Richmond Footy Club did, their willingness to get that ball forward and run onto it. But apart from that, the defence and the pressure isn't there. It's not like we've seen from Richmond over the journey. And that might take some time, Wes, by the way. But three goals, and Lachie Neale doing what he wanted is, it's pretty embarrassing.
But you go back and you look at all the other midfielders that Essendon play against, and they all do what they want. Now, I understand what the system is supposed to deliver, okay? And it's a philosophical shift in the mindset of a coaching group, and then obviously that has to be transplanted to the players. But if it's not working, then you are required to have a backup plan. Mm. And I think that's the thing that frustrates me when I watch them play, is there's just no backup to that. And, you know, I understand there's a difficulty now for all clubs getting messages across and they're not all trained together, all that type of thing. But it's a major disappointment to watch Essendon. And you look at, you know, like the whole record thing, and I said to you, you know, a few weeks ago when others were sort of saying, yeah, Essendon's in well positioned, but the teams they'd beaten, they were poorly credentialed teams.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't the best teams in the competition. They'd been falling over the line. The week before against Adelaide, they fell over the line against Adelaide in Adelaide. Now, they might have been, they might be a better team when they go home and play because they've got the emotional boost of the crowd, that type of thing. But, you know, that they just got there. They just fell in against Adelaide.
Well, they've got a game up their sleeve and they're still, well, they're just outside the eight, so they're interesting. The tag is the tag. To tag or not to tag, I'll get onto that in a moment. Pete's on the road. Go, Pete.
Boys, and Tim and Gary, I'm an Essendon supporter. Friday night, it was so hard to watch. We were so slow. I know they've been trained to fill the gaps. Now, we were getting thrashed in that first half. Why the hell would you not man up? Now, the other thing is Hurley. Every time he gets the ball in the back half, he just stops and he takes forever to move the ball on. We don't use our run. I would have preferred our run and gun. Now, Andy McGrath has been playing well, but to Andy, every time he gets the ball, it's always like a hook kick out of the pack, up into the air. Why don't they lower their eyes, kick to an open space, and try to use the pace that we've got down there instead of trying to kick to Tipper that's always got two guys on him? We've got Townsend at full forward. I know he's there to do a job and sort of stop their lead backman, but it was just so frustrating. It's been going on for years and years, and when's the last time we've been able to actually run a team right to the end and take the game on and win by 5 or 6 goals plus? It hasn't happened for 15 years at the club.
Yeah, I can hear your frustrations there, Pete. And there's a lot of, I know a lot of Essendon people who are similarly frustrated at the moment as well. And I know when you said it in the last couple of days, late last week, that we're going to see these performances from time to time during the hub, these outlier performances. Well, the challenge for the Bombers is to make sure it's not an outlier, with that three goals isn't what they can be serving up. And it was against a good Brisbane side, albeit, but frustrations.
They are a very good team. They are a very good team, by the way. Team, not, you know, they've got some real talent. They've got some top-end elite talent, and Lachie Neale is at the top of that pile. But they're a great team. They're well coached. They understand what they're doing. and they all contribute. And they're powerful around the ball too, like really powerful around the
Which
ball.
Which makes
aggressive, contested players.
With Melbourne even greater, given they pushed them as deep and as hard as they did. St Kilda fans, we're going to get to your team next. North Melbourne fans, we're going to get to your team as well, who've had their first win in 7 weeks, so they need to be talked about as well, albeit against a side that... are doing it pretty hard. We are here for Judo Bank Wispy, and we appreciate their great ongoing support. Protect whatever your next move is. Choose Judo Bank and Essendon, Havilland, Great Wall. Incredible deals for everyone.